Well, we're going to continue in our study of the book of Acts, and for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this concept or this thing that we call the sovereignty of God. We've seen in chapter 16 in particular that God has this unique ability in the context of growing his church, which is the big theme of the book of Acts that we've been looking at for a number of months. God has this unique ability to take circumstances that are not exactly the way we intend, things that don't work out quite the way we think they should, and use them in such a way that his kingdom is extended and his name is glorified. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, we basically mean that God is ultimately supreme. He is in control. And I find that encouraging because there are times when I'm not necessarily in control, because circumstances happen that I don't control, but because of God's sovereignty, he has a way to still bring honor and glory out of that. We talked about Paul and Barnabas, how they kind of had a little bit of a dispute. And you think, well, how in the world can God bring good out of two of the main leaders of this young church having a parting of ways? But he did, and we talked a lot about that. We've talked about how God can bring works in ways and people and cities and in people's lives that we just don't even fully understand. And so we're going to continue on this morning. I'm going to read some more portion of Scripture, a little bit of Scripture this morning that we want to cover. But we're trying to, one of the things I want to do as we go through the book of Acts is to actually read as much of it, if not all of it, as much as possible, so that we actually see and hear what is taking place in this young church that's having such excitement and God is doing such great work. So let's pick it up at Acts chapter 16 and verse number 16. And if you didn't catch the theme of the songs, we're talking about freedom this morning. Acts 16 and 16. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order: "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave, go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. Now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. One of the things we've been saying as we've gone through this study in the book of Acts, that it's not just important for us to learn church history, although it does give us a bigger picture of who we are and where we are in this time in church history, but what do the lessons learned? What are the lessons learned for us? What do they teach us about ministry today? Now, this section of the book of Acts is one that's been read a bit. You've probably heard some sermons on it over the years. It's usually a sermon or a devotional, rightly so, about Paul and Silas being put in prison, but nothing could stop them from praising God. And even in the midst of prison, they sang hymns and they worshiped, and God did a miracle, and they were released and found their freedom. And that's certainly a very important aspect of this section of Scripture. And this Scripture does speak to us about freedom, but it speaks to freedom in more ways than we probably realize right here. Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel. The church is spreading, and as the gospel is prone to do, it starts to get kickback. It gets feedback, pushback, backlash, whatever word you want to use. And it usually gets pushback when somebody else's agenda gets threatened. We meet a young lady here in this passage of Scripture who is basically being trafficked. That's a term we would use today. She becomes a slave to some owners who are using her ability by which she's possessed by a spirit and can predict the future. And because of that, they're making a lot of money. Paul recognizes that this lady has an evil spirit, and he prays for her and gives her freedom from that spirit, and ultimately freedom from her owners because she's no good to them anymore. But when Paul prays for her and she becomes free, the owners have now lost money. And because of their greed and because of their possessive nature, they are angry, of course. And so what do? Their agenda has now been impacted. So they take Paul and Silas and they drag them, it says, into the marketplace. And in the marketplace, in the public arena, they began to accuse Paul and Silas of doing something that they really weren't doing. They accuse them of upsetting the culture, of upsetting the customs. They say, these men are Jews and they're doing things that are not right. They're upsetting our culture. Of course, authorities, as they usually do, they respond to public opinion. And because the people are now upset and the owners of the girl and their agenda have won the day, they take Paul and Silas and they put them in prison. Paul and Silas, yes, we read how they began to pray and praise, and an earthquake happened. Someone say, well, that wasn't God. That was just happened to be an earthquake at the same time. Okay, we'll still take that. We'll still take the fact that the earthquake may have happened anyway, but God ordained the circumstances so that it happened at the time when they needed to be released. I'm good with that, either way. Paul and Silas were ultimately released, but not before Paul did something that we sometimes forget to do. Paul reminded the authorities that he was a Roman citizen and that he, like the slave owners, also had rights in that context. Now, you know me, I don't talk a lot politically. I don't preach about politics. I prefer to preach about Jesus. But Jesus provides freedom. The Bible talks about Jesus But here is something we do not want to miss. This passage also speaks to the fact that we need to exercise our rights politically as well, because as citizens of our culture and our country, we have rights which are being impinged upon. Paul and Silas, like us, had their rights taken away by people who claim that they had rights that we don't. We hear a lot about political freedom today, political rights, minority rights, human rights, everybody's individual right. And if you know me, I will stand for anybody's individual right, even if it disagrees with me. I will stand for that right. Our problem is when one person's claim to have rights affects the rights of other people who do not necessarily share their convictions. And so what you have happening here, we know what's happening in our day. Individual rights are impacting our politics. They're impacting our work. They're definitely impacting our education system. They're impacting our lives. And as we had to work through as a staff over the last couple of weeks, they're starting to have direct impact in our church. And while I will stand, as I said, with anybody to support their rights, even if they disagree with me, what I will not support is them having the freedom to take away my rights, which I still possess as a believer in Jesus Christ and as a citizen of this country. And so we still have the right to preach Jesus Christ and the Word of God. As I said, the problem here, you had this group of people. They had an agenda. They were trafficking, making money. They had a personal agenda. And when Paul started to preach in such a way that people were being freed, they wanted to convince the people that they were actually trying to put this lady into bondage. We read about the miraculous release of Paul and Silas. We read about their attitude. It's miraculous. We'll come back to that in a moment. But if we look at verse number 35, we see what happens here. The magistrates come back after they are released and say, okay, they can go now. Paul says, hold on a second here. Time out here for a moment. We weren't treated properly. And he brought to the attention of the magistrates that we too are Roman citizens, and they also had rights within that context. Like today, the marketplace doesn't usually respond well to the gospel. Lack of understanding, people are afraid. What are these people trying to do? People have fears. People's fears are being stoked by other agendas. They saw the gospel as something that was threatening rather than something that was setting people free. The owners of this slave girl, they didn't want their world upset. And so with prejudice and with preconception and with exaggeration and lies, they convinced the public that these men who are setting people free are bad. It's hard not to see the similarity, obviously, in our day. The church, the gospel, the message of Jesus who sets people free is often the target of lies and exaggeration. Now, I will say we always haven't helped ourselves, but nonetheless, it's the target of lies and exaggeration. Society wants to put forward a view that the gospel of Christ doesn't belong in our culture. But Paul pointed out differently. And what was missed in that whole thing was that he, as a Roman citizen, had rights to do as well as someone else had rights. And church, while our main proclamation must continue to be freedom in Christ, freedom from sin, freedom to live for Jesus, while our main focus always remains spiritual freedom, and we recognize that other people have rights, even if they disagree with us, we, you and I, are still citizens of a country that has the freedom, and as such, you and I have a right to believe and to proclaim what we believe in the public square as much as anyone else. And we must make sure that we do so, that while we are citizens of a country, that while we are citizens of a country that claims such freedom, that we use the right to proclaim the freedom we have. One caution that I will give is that let's not get so consumed in preaching about our rights to preach Jesus that we actually forget to preach Jesus. Let's not just stand up to protect our rights. Let's make sure we preach what we want the right to preach. And that's where, so that's the political side. I'll stop there on that one. This passage certainly does speak to political freedom. But there's a freedom that's far more important, and this passage speaks to that. Maybe someone's listening today on live stream, or you're hearing this service, and yeah, okay, we live in a country, he can do what he wants, she can do what she wants, I can do what I want. But yet you don't sense real freedom. In this passage of Scripture, in chapter 16, we met a lady by the name of Lydia. Paul went into Macedonia, started to preach the gospel there. He met this lady by the name of, or in Philippi, he met this lady by the name of Lydia. She's a businesswoman. She's kind of upper class. She comes to know Jesus. Here in this passage of Scripture, we meet a slave, a girl who is actually owned by someone else, being trafficked for what they can get from her. Then we meet a guy who's a jailer. I'll call him a kind of a middle-class government worker. And in each of these cases, people are encountered with the freedom that comes through Jesus. The message of the gospel is that Jesus brings freedom to anyone, no matter what class of society you are from, no matter what history is behind you, no matter what baggage you are carrying, no matter what label somebody else has attached to you. As we sang this morning, we are children of God, and freedom is for whosoever would call upon that. The rich, the famous, the slave girl, the middle class. Jesus came to bring freedom, personal freedom. The message of the gospel is freedom for everyone who would receive it. It's received by different people at different points. The jailer, he was in an interesting situation. I'm not even absolutely 100% certain that when he called out and said, "What can I do to be saved?" that he was actually talking about personal salvation. He was in a bad situation here. The word can also be interpreted, "What must I do to get out of this mess?" kind of thing. But nonetheless, whatever happened to cause him to turn, the message that he was presented with was the real freedom you need is not from this mess that's been created here tonight with your job. The real freedom you need is freedom in Jesus Christ. And Paul presented the gospel to him. And he was at a point in his life where he was a recipient. He was open to the message of the gospel. Lydia was open to the message of the gospel. She was having a successful business, as we understand. The slave girl was being dominated by someone else, and yet the message of the gospel set her free. Freedom for everyone who believes. Paul took it to a whole new level with the jailer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Not just from the pickle that he found himself in with the jailers escaping. You see, freedom is available and Jesus is the answer for everyone. From every walk of life. From every dilemma. From every demon, Jesus is the answer for freedom. This passage speaks of political freedom. It speaks of personal freedom. I don't usually try to find three neat points, but I wanted to find another P word, and so it speaks to perpetual freedom. The Bible says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Paul and Silas, we read that wonderful story about the jail time, and they're singing hymns to God, and other people are listening to them, and then the earthquake happens, and they're freed from their chains. Well, that was freedom for that moment. But the Word of God speaks to us about what I want to call this morning perpetual freedom, something that's not not dependent upon circumstances. Paul and Silas obviously had that. They were in jail for doing nothing wrong. They were in jail for trying to help someone. They were in jail for trying to release someone from bondage. And here they are in jail. That would have had me quite upset. And here they are, but something, they found freedom that goes beyond circumstances. They've tapped into a freedom that goes beyond jail cells or stocks. They found a freedom beyond that. And in the middle of that, because they are free in Christ, they're singing to Him and they're praying and they're praising God. You see, what was contained within Paul and Silas was greater than the chains that were keeping them in prison. You see, we're all going to face situations where we're going to have to choose our focus. We're all going to be hit with opposition. We're all going to face times where we're not treated fairly. We're all going to face times when we deal with bitterness, uncertainty, maybe attacks from outside, maybe spiritual forces working against us. But you see, our circumstances don't determine the freedom that we have found in Jesus. Paul later wrote to the Galatians, the church in Galatia, and said, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free." And then he went on to remind them of something very important. He said, "Don't let yourselves get caught in returning to this slavery." You see, freedom in Christ is given, but the level to which we exercise that freedom largely depends on you and I. Freedom in the midst of jail to sing and sing praises to God. Freedom in the midst of attack to continue to give God praise. You see, those who are free are not always those who appear to be free. If you look at the beginning of this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, we find some people who are owners. And we see a young girl who's a slave. And from the first glance, it appears quite obvious. Well, she's the one who is in bondage. She's the one who is enslaved. And these owners, well, they're free. Look what they're doing. They can do what they want. But a closer analysis helps us to realize that that girl was set free in a moment when Paul and Silas prayed and delivered her from her bondage. And the owners were in bondage to greed, in bondage to self, in bondage to their culture. You look in the jail, it looks like Paul and Silas are the ones who are in bondage, and the jailer is the one who is free and can do what he wants. But yet in reality, Paul and Silas were free as birds. They're singing praises despite their circumstance. And the jailer is caught, and he needs to be free. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse number 36, we find the words of song that we sang already this morning. It says, "If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." It's not just a one-time thing. It's a perpetual freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're bound by tradition, if you're bound by bitterness, you feel in bondage to guilt, maybe evil spirits have been troubling you, maybe you were in bondage to yourself, to fear, to sin. And the words of Paul to the jailer are the words that you need to hear this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will set you free from sin, and he whom the Son sets free becomes free indeed. You see, there's a freedom this morning that is granted to us as children of God. And that's a freedom that nobody can ever take away. We have freedoms as a country, as a citizen. I have the Charter of Canadian Rights in my office. It reminds me that I have rights and freedoms as a Canadian citizen, and I believe we need to exercise them as long as we can and whenever we can. But regardless to what any government does, regardless to what any system does, regardless of what any circumstances do, the freedom that we find in Jesus Christ can never be taken away. You're a wealthy business owner, you're a middle-class civil servant, you're a slave. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's who we are this morning. Free in Jesus Christ. And I ask you to bow with me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. If you're here this morning and you feel that you're in some sort of a bondage to circumstances, to your past, I want you to know this morning that by calling on the name of Jesus Christ, as Paul advised the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this morning you can be saved and free. Father, we thank you that your word reminds us, Lord, of actual events that took place many years ago. But Lord, while they are past events, they are still a present reality. Lord, there is no date stamp on your promise that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning, those that may be listening, those that may listen at some future point who are feeling bound by something, someone. Lord, I just pray that they would realize this morning that their freedom is not found in their work, their circumstances, their political world, but it's found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those today who have committed their lives to you and may feel like they're struggling. Lord, help them to realize that your word promises that you set us free, that we do not need to return to any kind of a slavery. Lord, we do not need to return to the things that are binding us. But Lord, that we can be free and free eternally. So Lord, I just pray that you would bring freedom into the lives and the hearts of people today who need it. We ask this in Jesus' name.